Mobutu Sese Seko ruled Zaire for 32 years until he was pushed out by Laurent Kabila's rebels in May. Mobutu left behind a legacy of poverty and decay in the country now called the Democratic Republic of Congo. But ironically, the Mobutu era also produced Africa's most popular dance music, soukous. Banning Air reports.
If all you know of Mobutu's Zaire is crumbling infrastructure, soldiers looting for lack of pay, and appalling poverty across a vast stretch of Central Africa, you might be surprised to learn that Mobutu's arrogance and greed were closely tied to the rise of Africa's hottest dance beat. It's hard to believe that such misery could generate music as giddy as this recent track from singer Papa Wemba. More infectious than the Ebola virus itself, the sound variously known as soukous, zairwas, rumba, or kwasa kwasa is the disco of Africa. But this is more than just a case of oppressed people making happy music to drown their sorrows. In fact, in the early years of Mobutu Sese Seko's reign, Zaire was in pretty good shape in terms of money and culture.
In the beginning, it was good because when he came, the economic situation in the country was better.
Tabule Rochereau is the only major Zairean bandleader to predate and also outlive the Mobutu era. He's been dividing his time between L.A., South Africa, and Paris, where we reached him to talk about Mobutu.
When Mobutu came, he found money, and the people was very happy, and then the music was a special thing for Zairean people. And the people came all over the world to see the Zairean musicians, and also they invite a Zairean musician to go play everywhere, you know. And then we made good money for our life, you see.
In 1965, the year Mobutu became president, Kinshasans swayed to the gentle lilt of music they called rumba. The explosion of rumba bands included Franco's OK Jazz, the Grand Calais and his African Jazz, and the group African Fiesta featuring a sensational young singer, Tabule. President Mobutu skillfully manipulated musicians. When Tabule says he made good money, he means it. He describes cash gifts from Mobutu as much as $100,000. Feliko Chikala played bass and guitar in a number of top Kinshasa bands before moving on to Paris and eventually Boston. Feliko remembers the effect of Mobutu's gifts to musicians.
If Mobutu like what you think about him, he will invite you to dinner to his place as a band. At the end, everybody get a lot of money. You can get each person has a car. That's why a lot of people start to become musician. Okay, maybe by any chance, can get to be with Mobutu.
Feliko calls Mobutu an ambianceur, a partier, someone who loves drinking, dancing, and womanizing. And Tabule agrees.
Oh, that's true. It was a big ambianceur. Because of that, he spent too much money about to enjoy. It was a good thing for us, but it was bad for the country because it was spending money without to make a calculation. You understand?
Mobutu and his cronies bled the nation dry, all the while bidding the people to party. Mobutu even purchased heavy-duty sound gear from Italy and outfitted bands and clubs with rock and roll amperage, making Kinshasa's music scene the envy of musicians all over Africa. When I visited the city's music quarter, Matonge, in 1987, Zairean music blasted from clubs, restaurants, and record stores onto the streets 24 hours a day. Teenage boys organized bands with makeshift instruments angling to enter the profession, and the clubs in Kinshasa bustled right to the bitter end of Mobutu's regime.
Pasa, pasa, pasa.
Zairean music didn't kick like this in 1965. President Mobutu had a hand in shaping the character of the music as well. Probably the defining cultural initiative of his 32-year reign was an idea he introduced in the early 70s. He called it authenticité, or authenticity. It was intended as a rediscovery of African traditions after the humiliations of Belgian colonialism. Mobutu forced citizens to shed Western names for African ones, and he invented his own national dress code. He also encouraged bands to introduce indigenous elements into their music. Around that time, singer Papa Wemba was helping to found one of the most influential Zairean bands, Zico Longa Longa. He remembers authenticité as a beautiful idea that encouraged musicians to create a synthesis of music from Zaire's many ethnic groups.
Chaque ethnie a un genre musical. C'est ce qui fait encore jusque-là la force de la musique zaïroise.
This is the strength of Zairean music, he says. We're a crossroads of musical genres. Mobutu tried to curb foreign influences in the national soundtrack. Wemba says that the famous 1974 rumble in the jungle between Muhammad Ali and George Foreman in Kinshasa unnerved Mobutu. In concerts surrounding the fight, James Brown's funk and Johnny Pacheco's salsa energized the Kinshasa public. Mobutu's subsequent efforts to keep Western music off the airwaves were only marginally successful, but they helped to heighten the insularity of Kinshasa's music scene. Zico Longa Longa's original drummer, Mehdi Joe, grew up playing in percussion troops in Kinshasa's streets. In Zico, he introduced indigenous rhythms in his snare drum parts, especially the rhythm that drives the fast seben section at the end of a typical Zairean song. While the guitars chime and weave and the singers chant, the drum cracks out time. Ka, 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 ka. Meanwhile, the bass plays its own aggressive rhythm, which Feli Kochikala says came right out of Mobutu's military parades.
At the time, they used to call that bass style marche militaire, like the soldier walking, and the drum, tum, 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 and the bass have to be aggressive like that, following the drum. Everybody in Zaire start to grow up with that aruto, so powerful. So everything have to be aggressive.
Mobutu came up with a slogan, discipline before everything. And this partly explains why Zaire produced such crack musicians. Competition was fierce among them, and the standards rose as the nation's cash supply dwindled. Feliko still appreciates the discipline he was raised with, but he says Mobutu's model as a leader found sinister expression among Kinshasa bands.
Everybody wants to copy the government. Even in the school, the principal of the school, he become like the president of that little school country thing. Even the church, you see, That become a serious problem. Anybody who's the president of some little band, so he has to make his own law. And beside them, they always have these people who hangs around, who do nothing, but they get a lot of money. That's the same thing compared to the Mobutu's government. He has all these people around him, they have all this title, but they do nothing, absolutely nothing. But they get more money than anybody who's doing good work in the country.
Like rivals and corrupt political entities, band members fought over titles like founder, musical director, president, chief, manager, treasurer. Then each demanded more money because of his title. Band leaders, in imitation of Mobutu's ruffian tactics, would even dispatch tough guys to rough up rebellious musicians. Taboulet finally left Zaire in 1988. By then, bands and musicians fleeing Kinshasa's decay had established powerful beachheads for Zairean music in Paris and Brussels, as well as many African cities. Still, musicians did not criticize Mobutu's successes. Taboulé wrote a few songs in which he declared himself an exile and encouraged Mobutu to talk with the opposition. For this, his family in Kinshasa was harassed. Since we spoke, with Mobutu gone, Taboulé has made a triumphant homecoming to Kinshasa and has even hinted at his own political aspirations.
Our country is down now. We're going to build the new country. Many people start to go back home because we don't want the new president to do the same like he did. It's time for us to be near him and to tell everything because we don't like the same situation like with Mobutu.
As to the future of music in the new Democratic Republic, Papa Wemba and Taboulé sound upbeat. If the new government can get the economy moving, they say, Kinshasa can build the sorts of institutions that Mobutu never bothered to create: recording studios, legitimate record companies, and laws against music piracy. But Félix Otchikala is less optimistic. For him, to become a musician during Mobutu's peak years was to choose a promising career, like law or medicine in the U.S. But now, the incentive of largesse from government honchos is history, and many musicians have left the trade to go into business or other professions. Meanwhile, President Kabila is using strong-arm tactics of his own to get a grip on the anarchy Mobutu left behind. He recently banned the wearing of pants and short skirts by women. Is that prudishness a signal that the party-hardy years in Kinshasa are over? Only time will tell. But whatever happens to the country, Soukous music will survive, if only because no other African music is so widely available around the world. All that hypnotic guitar play and big band drive, all those danceable love songs, have a bittersweet ring now. Soukous seduced the world with its mood of celebration and abandon. Now it also reminds us of one of the darkest reigns in modern history. For National Public Radio, I'm Banning Air.